Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Clinton Yates. And that is Michael Jr., not frozen. He's just chosen to maintain that sort of mood for the entire show. We should probably get started, right, Mike?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
How did you feel watching the Tiger Woods story unfold yesterday?
Yeah, so if you haven't heard, Tiger Woods got into a single car accident yesterday, Tuesday morning in LA. He was there for some promotional shoots. I believe he was actually on his way to teach Drew Brees how to play golf, and he got into an accident. And look, all of the questions that you have right now when you hear single car accident, we don't really have answers to yet, and I don't think it's worth at all speculating in any way in that direction. But what we do know is that Tiger sustained pretty serious injuries. He was in serious but stable condition. They put a rod in his leg. I'm not going to go into too many details because there was something about separating the cover of a muscle to clear out, and that just made me lightheaded, so I stopped reading. But it's pretty serious issues with his leg or legs, and obviously that's devastating, as he just revealed that he was hopeful to maybe be able to play in the Masters. He's also been recovering from back injuries for the last few years. It's a setback, another setback in a career that I think everyone has really enjoyed following and rooting for. And so I felt sad. I felt bummed and I felt disappointed. And I also feel worried for Tiger, because somebody who has been raised to compete and who has been told that this is the purpose of their life, is to do this thing, and these things keep getting in the way of him doing that, some of his own volition, some that are just accidents. It's frustrating. And I hope that he has help and support around him that can help him deal with the mental implications of such a physical injury.
And I think I was kind of like you, Katie. I was sad. I was jarred originally when you see the pictures of the car, the images that we were getting. Your mind immediately goes to the worst. I mean, I do a sports talk radio show. We were getting ready to go on and talk about LeBron, and then all of a sudden this happens, and you kind of become a news show. And so we're talking to all these different people around golf, people that know Tiger Woods, and it was interesting. Everyone went back, understandably, to the place I think we all find the most common ground, which is the humanity of it. Tiger Woods as a father, Tiger Woods as, I think, a very visible father for us, which is a different connection point, and I think created a lot more outpouring of that emotion because we'd seen him with his son Charlie recently, because we had gotten to view more of that part of his life lately than before. We talked to Wright Thompson yesterday, and he brought this up, who did a great profile on Tiger years ago, and said, by all accounts, Tiger's always been a pretty dutiful father and a guy who's dedicated to his kids. We just, like many other parts of different celebrities' lives, didn't always get to see that. And so now I think because we've seen so much of that, it creates a different and really probably the most human connection point with Tiger Woods we've had in a while.
There's two things about this that struck me. Number one is that as a resident of Los Angeles and the one-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's memorial being today, you know, it reminded everybody of that general vibe of, wow, something has gone wrong to somebody we all really, really like. So there was a general sort of news anxiety that was very odd here on the ground. Secondarily, 20 years ago, I was in a single car multi-rollover accident, and that car that I crashed in total looked almost exactly like the car Tiger Woods crashed yesterday. It was on its side. My car was passenger side down. I was hanging by the seatbelt. I climbed out of the top window. When I got onto the other side of the street, the person who saw the car looked at me, dreaded my eyes, and said, how many other people are dead in that car?
Jesus.
It changed my life forever. So when you talk about the mental aspect, Katie, of what's going on with Tiger Woods, I'm willing to admit that this is going to be a lot bigger than a lot of people think for his own mind. I didn't get back in a car for 6 whole months. I didn't want to get in a car at all to drive for like a year. Golf, walking, okay. But this guy survived death. And I think that that's something we really should consider when we talk about what we think about in terms of Tiger getting back to the Masters or whatever. This dude's gotten a second chance. And reminder, I was 20 when that happened. I was not at this phase of life. So for Tiger to be around for his family, as you mentioned, Gojo, and the mental aspect that you mentioned, Katie, those are the two things that I think about the most.
What's your reaction to hearing about Alex Smith's broken relationship with the Washington football team?
Yep, we're just going to talk about leg stuff that makes me queasy today. Alex Smith gave an interview to Clay Skipper of GQ about, you know, his absolutely incredible comeback from the injury we saw him sustain, where we at one point heard that he had sepsis and was maybe going to have to lose his leg. And instead of choosing to have it amputated, he rehabilitated it. One of the interesting things I found separate from this question in the interview was that he mentioned that somebody put a football in his hand while he was doing rehab. And that was what sort of made him realize that the game wasn't, you know, he said initially his thoughts were, this stupid game is why I might lose my leg and never be able to play with my kids again. And then when somebody put a football in his hand, he remembered that he loved it and that it's a passion of his, and it sort of drove him. I found that absolutely fascinating because it seems so simple, but this little thing that his doctors, who sound incredible, were able to help him do, and his physical therapy team, was remind him of the fact that this thing happened to you, not for something stupid, but for something you do genuinely love. And basically throughout the interview, that's what Alex Smith used to carry him back to the field where we saw him make his big comeback. Now, one of the things that does come up in this interview is that he feels like the team, the Washington football team, was not supportive or did not want him to come back, and that he felt like he had to fight and fight and fight for it all on his own in order to get his place back on the field. My main takeaway, regardless of whether or not that's entirely true or if it's just his perspective or whatever it is that when things like this happen, when athletes come back from injuries like this and manage to find success, to make sure that most of the credit for that should go to the athlete. The team is always going to love to have that story that Alex Smith came back and played for us. But sometimes teams don't necessarily deserve a lot of the credit for that. So I think what would be totally fair from what I've read in this interview is to continue to be very proud of and impressed by Alex Smith's ability to fight through something that should have ended his career.
As somebody who was born and raised in the fan base of the Washington football team, I am probably closer to this than I need to be, but I can tell you this. The person who was sitting right next to one Daniel M. Snyder for a good portion of the time he was not playing was Alex Smith. And why do we think Alex Smith even had a chance to come back on a leg that was busted in double-digit places? Probably because of that friendship. This has big, I thought you said you were going to leave your wife energy, and the guy never leaves his wife, okay? Huh. So when he gets cut now, you're kind of like, bro, you might not have ever been in this position to begin with had you not gotten a chance from Snyder. Right now, though, we all knew how risky this was the entire time, and I think everybody is glad he just literally made it out okay. Because when he's getting sacked with that porous offensive line and a leg that doesn't work, nobody cares at that point about whether or not anybody was battling in a hospital. We just want to make sure that you can walk to actually see your children, okay? So that is the best part about this. Alex, we're just glad you made it.
Yeah, I think all of these points are really well served. When I heard the part about a team not wanting him, or that sentiment that he was operating and the team didn't really support that, that was a reminder that this is basically what most people outside of first round draft picks kind of deal with every year. The team, especially when a new regime comes in, looking to try and find your replacement, and usually trying to find them younger and cheaper, which we know Washington had tried to do at the quarterback and failed recently at this. But I'd say on the other side, generally, because of everything you just heard, I'm kind of cynical about most things that come to sports. Yes, there are beautiful ideals that go with sports, but in general, the business tends to get pretty grimy. But this story is a reminder of, goes back to the first thing Katie brought up. When they put the football in his hands, Alex Smith said multiple times in this article, I didn't think I was going to come back and play again. And I wasn't sure that I wanted to, but when they put the ball in his hands, the sentiment, and I'm paraphrasing roughly, was, even if I don't get back, because he still thought that was a long shot, I know I'm going to get a lot further with this as my motivation. And it's this freakish reminder that we see often in sports that these games and these silly things that we probably put way too much importance to can actually propel people to places that are pretty deep and meaningful in a lot of other senses of life. And Alex Smith is now the new poster for that.
Up next on HQ.
Like, imagine how weird this show would be if we all reacted to each other's takes with Kawhi's energy. We would look so weird in all the bars and restaurants that people used to watch the show on when bars and restaurants were open.
Ugh, remember those?
Do you question if this is how Kawhi expresses excitement?
All right, so sorry, Clinton, but the Clippers blew out the Wizards, which is the game we're going to go to for this clip, and the bench was reacting after, I believe, a late game three.
Dang.
Mm.
Six in a row, not happening, Zardoz.
Oh, man.
A lot of excitement.
There he is. The fun guy.
What did you
okay,
baby?
So listen, the best part about this, let me explain something to you. For those of you who are not familiar with the work of one Patrick Beverly, number one, I played him on Around the Horn for Halloween one time. Number two, he
Most
used
important.
To be my exact favorite player in the NBA. Number three, he once won a dunk contest in the Ukraine. Run that back and look at Pat Beverly getting his dance on the left side of the screen. He's not some TikTok, you know, air traffic control dancer. He's got lower body moves. Look at him. There we go.
All by himself too, as they're walking away from him, and then he's just all by himself. Look, that's the energy I want from Kawhi. Also, it feels like Kawhi is looking at the scoreboard and knows they're up by 20, and that's really not that big of a deal.
I just appreciate Kawhi attacking every situation with the energy of Eminem in the Notre Dame Michigan broadcast booth with Herbie and Musburger that one time where we're all really confused. Like, imagine how weird this show would be if we all reacted to each other's takes with Kawhi's energy. We would look so weird in all the bars and restaurants that people used to watch the show on when bars and restaurants were open.
Remember those?
Oh, man. I'd be dancing like Pat Bevin one right now.
Do you question whether this was a convincing flop?
All right, so we are going to go to my favorite league, and I know that's, you know, not popular, but it's the third division of Guatemalan soccer. Now, this flop is apparently so bad that they're considering suspending the player. So let's this professional. Oh, what? He has a rock in his hand?
It looks like he hit himself with it.
Yep.
Damn.
What?
Wow. Hard.
What was he intending to say? And then that guy just throws the rock out. What did he think we would think happened?
I don't know, but that's the most relatable flop I've ever seen. Like, as someone who crossed that 30-year-old threshold where now I get to complain like everyone else about how much my back hurts all the time and have to brace every time I go to pick something up so that I don't tweak any little thing, this is actually the most believable and most relatable circumstance of this.
I love this because, number one, any highlight that has cars where you can like possibly hit the cars with the balls in play from the field is always excellent. But number two, this is not a flop. This is well beyond any concept of flopping. This is a full-blown dramatic reenactment that involves like state-sponsored planted evidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we even talking about here? Nobody even touched him. He went down on his own, introduced a foreign object, made contact with it on his own, and then proceeded to act as if it was real. Flop is not nearly enough of a word for what this dude went through.
I think we're just seeing what happens when you play a sport where there aren't cameras on you at all times on every spot. And this guy might not have known that somebody could see. He might have thought he could say, somebody threw this rock at me. Unfortunately, I think everybody saw.
I don't know, guys. It was a pretty convincing flop to me.
Did you, Charlie? Is your mic on?
Do you
on?
Work for the Golden Globes?
Can we leave
Globes?
This in? You thought
Are you
that
a Golden
was
Globes
convincing
voter?
Acting? Can I see it again?
You sound like you're on the take. You sound like you work for the Golden Globes, Charlie.
Here's why it's bad acting. It's because he runs up to the rock. The approach has speed. And then he stops to pick it up. There's no commitment to making it look like whoopsies. It's just like, I'm going to go to that rock and I'll figure it out once I get there. And that's just not how acting works.
But if that's actually a rock, he at least committed enough to striking with enough force in that spot where I am impressed by this. Like,
but
he could have
why?
Stopped short. I don't know.
To
the why's,
what end?
Listen, the whys are for the government assessment of this that Clinton clearly wants going on because, as he said, this is bigger than just a sport here. That's for those people with their ability to decide that. I'm just looking here as a dumb person saying, man, that guy actually hit himself in the head with a rock.
Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, the She Believes Cup, USA versus Argentina.
I mean, there's not obviously a question about whether or not I'm interested. I'm obviously a yes, mostly because the United States has been winning 1-0 and then 2-0 in a game we're about to watch. But they haven't been winning the way Vlatko Andonovski wants them to win. They're not looking as dominant as we're used to seeing them. So I'm very much looking forward to this game. What do we have? A clip of Megan Rapinoe's goal?
Ball back into Rapinoe, but you're right.
This is a great uni matchup, by the way.
Get buckets.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's a lovely strike right there. Gets under the boot of the defender. I mean, that's not easy to do.
This time it comes from
Rock the baby.
Just so happy. I just watching women's soccer brings me a lot of joy. Gojo, are you intrigued?
I'm always intrigued. Like you said, this team in general, every time I watch them, is a source of joy. And they seem to just get more and more likable as they go along. Megan Rapinoe should be teaching one of those master's classes on celebrations because she's basically the Greek god of post-goal sellies. So, yes, I am intrigued.
Clinton,
see,
are you intrigued?
I'm very intrigued for multiple reasons. Number one, because Megan Rapinoe is the type of person that inspires other people to do her celebrations. We saw old boy from Alabama who used to do it. And let's go out to Clemson women's soccer, where Megan Bergkamp pulls this off with the help of a teammate and mixes in a piggyback ride to boot along with Rock the Baby. Shouts to Clemson women's soccer. Look at this. Gotcha, gotcha. Bang! Two-person celly. This is fantastic. We love to see this.
To be able to absorb a piggyback ride you're not expecting mid-celebration to is also a Division I level of core strength that I admire.
A-plus out of her.
An A-plus out of the baby. Who's it? It's Allie and Ashlyn's baby, right?
Yep.
Yes.
A-plus to the baby. Hi, baby.
Baby Sloan.
Tonight at 11:35, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, not a Fallon gal, but the reason we're asking is because, which is, this segment of the show doesn't make sense. We're asking if you're intrigued by watching Jimmy Fallon because of something that happened on Jimmy Fallon already. But either way, rather than ruin the show, let's just roll the clip. It's Shailene Woodley talking about her engagement to one Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we got engaged a while ago, and it's been... He's, first of all, just a wonderful, incredible human being. But I never thought I'd be engaged with somebody who threw balls for a living. Like, I never thought as a little girl, I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah. But he's really just so good at it. And
he really knows how to throw a ball. Yeah.
He can throw fastballs. He can throw slow balls, high balls, low balls. When I first met him, I think my dog like pulled me aside and was like, if you don't date this dude, I will disown you as my mother, because the 3 feet that I run with you when you throw a ball is nothing compared to the marathon I'm able to run with him.
Look, love is love, and I'm happy for anybody who has it, but I am very confused by her definition of a while, because I don't think they've been, it doesn't matter. I'm happy for them as long as they're happy, and I hope the best. Gojo, were you intrigued by Fallon?
I'm intrigued by this just because obviously we got this dropped on us during NFL honors. And so getting a follow-up has been something I've been interested in for a while. I do enjoy when people come from outside the world of sports and remind us how stupid and silly the things that we love and hold dear are. And so I love thinking of myself now as a ball protector, I think technically would have been my lot in sports life.
Well,
during
and in regular life, probably, if we're being completely honest. Clinton, are you intrigued?
Yes, I'm intrigued for two reasons. Number one, I believe her that she doesn't know anything about football based on the way that she said that. And number two, can we get another look at Fallon here? Can we please see what he's wearing in the side-by-side? Because he's dressed like the guy that skipped work but meets all his friends at the bar for happy hour but puts on his work clothes to act like he was actually at work that day. What is going on with this jacket and the tie being loosened up with the sweater under it? It's like, that should be more together. Every pieces, and it's your own show. What a weird look. Anyway, I like Fallon, but Shailene, I believe her for sure.
What's happening?
Oh, there it
here?
Is. There it is.
Well, that seems like
there
it's
it is.
Time
Would you
to
like
wrap
to see?
Up the
oh,
show.
I got the sweat.
No,
I got the
we're
tights
showing
going.
Off our legs.
They're great.
So that's it for Highly Questionable. If you want more of these two, you can find them wherever you can find calves. Thanks for watching.
Tights and shorts.
Tights, have a good
shorts,
weekend. It's
tights,
Wednesday.
Shorts, tights, shorts.
Whee! Both sides.